Welcome to the Retail Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Darius Wassefi, and today I'm speaking with Ryan Smith, Senior Director of Online Operations at ShopGoodwill.com. Hi, Ryan.
Hello.
Thanks for joining me. So, Ryan, I was interested to learn about how Goodwill actually operates, and I spoke with some of the team at the national organization, but learned that individual organizations are run separately, and even the ShopGoodwill.com website is run separately. And they mentioned that you are in charge of that. So I was wondering if you can tell me about ShopGoodwill.com, and also like just a little background about yourself. How did you get into this role and this great business of e-commerce?
Sure. Well, why don't we start with how I got into e-commerce? I was working for a technology company several years ago in the late 90s that had a catalog operation. It was back in the good old days when you would buy your memory out of catalog and it would come 6 to 8 weeks later. And you hope you ordered the right memory with the right specifications. What I was doing with them at the time was network administration. And then we decided that we wanted an e-commerce platform. So this was probably about 1994 or 95. We built an e-commerce platform that was, back in the day, it was kind of a disconnected platform. So you would browse our catalog online, search for what you wanted, place your order, and an email was sent to a salesperson who completed the order, which also included calling you to get your credit card. Because that was in the early days of SSL, and it wasn't quite as ubiquitous as it is now. And it was a little more challenging back in the day, because what you generally had operations who took credit cards online, you know, had banks of modems where the, you know, the order was like placed and then the modem dialed out to the bank to authorize. It was very sketchy technology back in the day.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. You know, we built the application first on a Silicon Graphics box. So it was a Unix based operating system. Actually, I think they called it IRIX, IRIX. Hmm. And we found an open source and modified and enhanced a library that would take FoxPro database files and let you through CGI parse them and search them. It was in the days before a lot of curriculum was based around it. Pretty much everything you learned you did through user groups and through just scouring whatever resources you could come up with on the internet.
That was state of the art at that time, I bet.
Oh, it really was. Yeah. I mean, I remember discussions I had with people who were building some of these libraries, you know, in the early days, and they're like, wow, you want to do what? And it was kind of seat of our pants, you know, a lot of trip and falls, but we got it working, and we had it working for a while. And then we switched to SQL at some point shortly after that, probably within a year or so. And so this was, I think the very first version of that application was running off of SQL 6 or 6.5, I can't recall. And, you know, even that was, you know, quite interesting. And watched SQL grow up through that process. That was kind of interesting. And then I transitioned out of that organization into an advertising agency where we had some clients, some big national clients. The advertising agency was DGWB Advertising. They're a local independent agency, and they have some big clients such as Wiener Schnitzel, Toshiba, Yamaha, Clarion Auto. Some really nice and interesting campaigns that what we did in the interactive department was we worked on building microsites and banner ads, et cetera, et cetera. And we did that for several years, and not doing any direct e-commerce at that point, but mostly, you know, the marketing efforts behind some of these businesses and their online space. One of those clients at DGWB was Goodwill of Orange County. And I worked very closely with them to, you know, to work on some of their campaigns, to help rebuild their website, redesign a website. This was probably back in, I think I started working on their account at about 2002 or so, and worked with their account for several years and fell in love with the mission and the work that they were doing over there. And lo and behold, you know, one of their properties that they had was shopgoodwill.com. Okay. Through some turnover, the staff at Goodwill of Orange County had a position became available that I found out about, and I decided to apply, and the rest is history. So I joined Goodwill of Orange County in 2005 specifically to work on shopgoodwill.com.
Okay.
So that's how I came there.
Cool. So that is Orange County, California, just to...
Yes, correct.
Right. So, yep. Okay. Cool.
And so what Shop Goodwill is an e-commerce platform. It was built in 2000, actually 1999, and went live in for the rest of the country in 2000. In 1999, it was an internal product, so only Goodwill of Orange County was listing product at the time. And then we opened it up to the rest of the Goodwill movement in 2000.
Okay. And so how does Goodwill is a national organization, but each mm-hmm. individual chapter is run independently, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Each Goodwill across the country, which I think there is about 162 of them, if my count is correct, it changes periodically. There's 162 of them across the country and in Canada and a few overseas. There's one in Finland and South Korea. Of the 162, they are independent. They have their own board of directors. They are all not-for-profit organizations. They all have their specific missions, but their missions are all generally pretty much aligned to the same national mission. So while everyone has its own kind of unique personality and its unique distinctive mission or its unique mission, they're all pretty close, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah, they're all fairly aligned in that regard.
Okay. And then, but does shopgoodwill.com actually serve all of these 162 chapters?
We have approximately 125 of those 162 or 63 chapters selling product on the platform today.
Okay. And so it sounds like a collaboration. They don't, like, the chapters don't have to work with shopgoodwill.com. They can do, so what do the other people do? Do they have their own websites, for example, or they don't even do anything online, or?
Yeah, it's a mix of all of those. You know, some don't have an e-commerce presence at the moment, but are, you know, looking into e-commerce presences. Some of them are using other platforms. Some of them are, you know, doing their own thing. So it's a pretty vibrant mix.
Okay.
And Goodwill is a pretty independent organization. Everybody has, you know, kind of unique views on how to do things. So there's a lot of autonomy in that independence, so that they get to do things that works best for their particular organization.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about how you work with the different organizations. So is shopgoodwill.com actually a separate organization from even Orange County, or is it actually a part of the Orange County Goodwill?
It is a part of the Orange County of Goodwill.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Orange County Goodwill is not like a client of yours. It's your organization. Okay.
Correct. Yeah, I am an employee of Goodwill of Orange County.
Okay. Now, so how do you work with, what are the type of, I'm looking at the website,
mm-hmm.
And I see categories, auctions, new today, mm-hmm. ending today, so, and then buy it now. So how mm-hmm. would you categorize or characterize the online shopping experience at shopgoodwill.com? Is it an auction site or is it an e-commerce site? Or
it
a
is,
combination?
It's a combination. Primarily, the majority of the auctions today are, or the items up for sale, are in the auction format, whether a traditional auction format or an auction with a buy now type of function. There is a fixed item price availability for, you know, if you just had a single item that you wanted to sell at a fixed price, that is available too. And additionally, this year we rolled out traditional stock and quantity type sales, where if you had, you know, 100 pairs of shoes that you wanted to sell, you could list them with quantity 100 and sell them as you would a traditional e-commerce platform.
Okay. And so how does each chapter, for example, send the data to you? Let's say a new chapter wants to like start working with shopgoodwill.com. Mm-hmm. What's the process? What do they have to do?
Well, they would contact one of our team members, and you know, again, it is only available to Goodwill members. So we would, of course, verify their Goodwill membership, which we pretty much know all of our Goodwill family. I mean, they're all, you know, it's not a surprise.
Right.
And so they would set up a profile with one of our teams, set up their payment options, their shipping options, and define some of their users. We would work with them with their shipping integration. And then it's pretty much listing away. One of the key things to remember, though, is that with the Shop Goodwill platform, when a Goodwill in, say, Tucson posts an item, they fulfill it from Tucson. So while we have 125, I believe is the number, and it kind of fluctuates a little bit. So while we have 125 sellers selling on the site, each one is fulfilling their own product. It is not being sent to a fulfillment center, et cetera, to be sold and distributed.
That was my next question, is how is the fulfillment taking place?
Yeah, so when the seller has listed the items online, most of these Goodwills have their own warehouses specifically or in part devoted to Shop Goodwill. So a warehouse space or, you know, some other facility space that is dedicated to Shop Goodwill. So when an item comes in, they will take the photographs, list it, and then place it on the shelf and then fulfill it out of that location.
And how do they manage? Do you know, I know you're not a part of the local organizations, of course, mm-hmm. but do you know how they manage the inventory? For example, if they put something on the website and it's mm-hmm. also on display in the store,
almost exclusively, that doesn't happen. It is usually taken out of the store and then sent to the e-commerce platform location. And that is simply a matter of logistics and management. As you can imagine, our product are one-of-a-kind treasures that don't come up very often, typically, especially the collectibles and things that go on Shop Goodwill. So in order to facilitate the safety of those transactions, those items are taken out of the store. Because what we would hate to have is a scenario where, for whatever reason, an item was sold online or in the store, and you know the linkage was broken for a brief moment, what have you, and the control over that product was lost.
Right.
Yeah. So. The amount of product that comes out of the store is relatively small compared to the size of the store and the product in the store. So it's not one of those scenarios where, you know, it has a huge impact in that regard. So it's taken out of the store and put into warehouse.
Okay. So somebody at the store, a manager or somebody, goes through and decides what they're going to list on the website online, and mm-hmm. they probably have learned after a few years of doing this what things sell best online.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So through training initiatives at the local Goodwill levels and through our team's efforts, you know, we help them identify product that are going to fetch a higher value online. Because in the end, you know, fetching the highest value, while for a for-profit agency is good business, for a not-for-profit agency such as ours, it's extremely good business, because the more revenue we can generate from the donations that are entrusted to us from the community, you know, the more good we can do with that and put back into the mission and help people. So for us, it's we look at it as a way to expand the mission and to help the most people. So it's really imperative that we try to get the most value out of this product.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So experience-wise, how many products do you have on the website right now, for example?
I think right now we fluctuate somewhere around 160,000.
So if you divide that by like 125, is that almost like 1,000 or more or less? Or actually,
you know,
per organization?
No, it's a little more than that. If it was 1,000, I guess it would be.
000.
Yeah, but there are some that, you know, don't produce that much, and then there are others that produce a lot more.
Okay.
Because that we have on the site, you know, we have goodwill organizations of, you know, so many different sizes, that, you know, we have small ones that have, you know, maybe, you know, annually have, you know, 10 million in sales, including their retail organizations, you know, and then we have some that are much, much larger. So it's kind of a wide mix.
Okay. Now, I'm looking at, for example, I see a lot of jewelry, first of all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as far as like product types, what product types do you try to sell online? What sells best?
Jewelry sells very well, because, you know, it's relatively inexpensive to ship. It's relatively easy to warehouse and manage. That sells very well. Clothing sells very well. Clothing is our number two category behind jewelry. And then down from there, it's typically collectibles. And I think Lego is like the number three product in general that sells. But musical instruments, it's a pretty wide selection of categories. But jewelry is our number one category.
Okay. Yeah. And then, okay, so when I look at the website, I see basically a lot of jewelry, some handbags, and yeah, a guitar. These are all auctions, clothing. And how long does it typically take for something to sell? What's a turnover rate average?
The average auction duration on Shop Goodwill is 7 days. But there are sellers who go as few as 3 days. But the majority are 7 days.
Okay.
Yeah, so the turnover is relatively quick. So it may not be as quick as in the store in some cases, especially in the 7-day auctions, but it is very, very quick, yeah.
Okay. And as far as customers, where do you see customers coming from mostly? Is it geographic based? Is it what kind of like demographics do you see?
Yeah, it's primarily women.
Okay.
And our demographics is on the 45 to 65 range. But you know, by location, they're all over the country. It pretty much follows the majority of the major metropolitan population maps.
Okay, do you find mostly people buying from their, well, can you see like who's selling it? Let me see. I'm looking at like one of the, does it say which chapter is selling the item?
Yes, it does. So if you look at one of the items, about halfway down the page, there's a link to the seller.
It says contact seller.
Yeah, if you go down a little bit further, it depends, I guess it depends on your screen resolution.
The yeah. Right, I see it.
Yeah, so we do show the seller, and you can actually search by seller. So if you had a preferred seller, You could do a search under the advanced search that way, and you could find the Goodwill that is closest to you. And many do offer pickup services as well. So if you wanted to do, if you wanted to pay for it and then come in and pick it up, that is available for many sellers.
Right. And then, so do you know if the people prefer, is that a factor in people making a decision, like when they're selling, when they're purchasing?
You know, it doesn't seem as though it's much of a factor. I mean, obviously, you may have a local customer who buys a lot from you because perhaps they have a resale interest in the product. But it doesn't seem to be a huge factor, as I believe, if I recall, only about 10% of orders are pickup orders.
Okay. I was thinking about if there was, for example, a map on the product page showing where where the user was and where the store was, if it would make a difference.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
I
believe that for the most part, except for those who are using Shop Goodwill as a platform for their business, or as a product source for their business, I believe most people are going off of product, not off of seller.
Right.
If that makes sense. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think that goes along with the industry pretty much.
Yeah.
Across the board. Okay. So female, primarily 45, 65. And then how do you find customers?
You know, we find customers through just the standard search engines. We do some advertising here and there. We have done some trade show sponsoring, we did a couple conventions. We did a Star Wars convention, and a couple Goodwills have done their local comic book conventions. But primarily, we're finding our customers through organic Google, or Google results, or search engine results. And primarily, what we're seeing is that, you know, as we post more items, we are getting a wider variety of things people are interested in, and then our customers are growing hand in hand with that.
Okay.
The site has a fantastic track record of sell-through percentage. So, you know, what we find is that, you know, if it posts, it will find a customer, and the customers will find it.
So by sell-through, you mean conversion rate, or?
Yes. We call it sell-through rate because of the nature of the auction format, and the singular nature of the items. So approximately 86%, I think was the last time I looked total, 86% of items posted on Shop Goodwill will sell.
Okay, yeah, I think that is different from conversion. So conversion, yeah, I think, is like, you know, of 100 people that come to the website, how many of them actually purchase?
Right,
yeah.
Right. We go by sell-through rate.
Right.
That's the one that's most important to us. Now, had we been a traditional e-commerce with stock and quantity as the bulk component, then that would be a more important metric. But for us, sell-through is more important.
Right, especially if you're doing only organic.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really add a specific cost to it to see the customer acquisition cost based on. Because then, when you're measuring your, you know, CAC, customer acquisition cost, then that the conversion rate becomes important.
Yes.
So okay. Yeah. Now, as far as search, so do you actually have like a integration with like Google product search, and you load products to them?
No. We don't have an integration with them other than giving them the traditional SEO tools, the sitemap, et cetera.
Just the content then?
Yes.
Only the content. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And then so that's pretty good. 86%, that's pretty good. I mean,
yeah,
you're almost sure you're going to sell the item.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, that has come from what we're coming up on 18 years now of institutional knowledge about what's going to sell, kind of just knowing the product, knowing what customers are looking for. We're very happy with that number. It makes us quite happy to see that because that means that the effort in posting is not wasted labor hours again, which wasted labor hours kind of take away from our ability to execute our mission.
Right. Yeah. That makes it. So I would assume that each store probably has a person dedicated to this activity, like taking pictures and posting products and.
Yeah, if not more than one. Some teams can be very large. For example, the Goodwill of Orange County has 13 people handling product directly, and that is the part of the listing process, the photography process, et cetera. That doesn't count the people who are doing the shipping and doing the inventory management.
Right. Wow. So that's like how many products a month are sold?
I believe for Goodwill of Orange County, it's about 10,000 items, maybe about 9,000 items a month.
Okay, 9 to 10,000. Okay, and is that growing?
Yes. Yeah, Shop Goodwill has been growing about 15% year over year for the last 10 to 15 years.
Okay, that's pretty good. That's I think in line with Amazon.
Yeah. The numbers are a little bit larger, but the percentages are pretty close.
Right. So speaking of Amazon, do you sell on Amazon?
Yes, we do. Not my organization. My team is directly just Shop Goodwill. However, Goodwill of Orange County does sell on Amazon. Primarily, they sell the donated books on Amazon.
Okay.
And that's a strategic decision just based on where book buyers are. We get a lot of books donated throughout the Goodwill movement, and to sell them on Shop Goodwill would be great. However, we're kind of looking where the customers are in that particular category, and we're pretty happy with the performance so far.
Yeah, I think that makes sense because that's where people go to buy books mostly.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Now I also see you have ads.
Mm-hmm.
What's the thought process about ads, and how does that work into the overall, I guess, image of the website or what customers think?
Customers haven't really said too much about it. Of course, the first day that we turned it on back, that was probably about 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
In the very beginning, with any change to a website, you get the, oh my gosh, everything's changed. first that was an issue, but it didn't last very long. The ad revenue helps offset the rising cost of running a large e-commerce operation.
Right. So it does actually generate revenues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Now, let's talk a little bit about the job and the life of a e-commerce director. What are your, number one challenges in running this and, being responsible for such an important thing?
It's kind of funny. It is a big responsibility. It is once you have a presence like this, it becomes 24/7, 365, right? We have some team members who share the burden of making sure this thing is running. It is quite challenging. Everything changes. The site has grown in complexity from a single web server back in 1999 with the database on the web server, that sort of deal. And throughout time, we have grown. Our traffic has grown. Our customer base has grown. Our seller base has grown. So with that has become has come a lot of complexity in the infrastructure, and that has become interesting to watch and to manage. However, you know, as you kind of grow into processes, they become natural. So for my team, as we've become more complex, you know, we are the ones who are introducing that complexity. So we kind of know where it all is. Right. And it is quite interesting to think about when you say, oh, wow, you had, you know, a billion and a third page views in a year. That's a lot. You know, that's a lot to consider.
Yeah, that was actually a question I had. So you had about 1.3 billion page views. How many users visits?
You know, the user visits I don't have handy at the moment. We have about 143,000 visits per day, but I don't know what my last year total count was.
Per day, okay.
And we have about 1.4 million registered users.
Okay, that's good. Okay, and then, so is how large is your team?
My team is a team of eight.
Eight people, okay. Okay, so you don't, the 13 people that handle the product listings, and they're not in your team.
That is correct, yeah. So my team is kind of separated from the rest of the e-commerce team. So it's kind of, you know, like with any organization, the lines get kind of weird sometimes when you try to explain them. But we run Shop Goodwill, and then we have a team that uses Shop Goodwill. And that team that uses Shop Goodwill has about 13 listers.
Okay. And then, so how does this actually, because organizational, structure is really interesting for me. And because a lot of companies do it differently. So I'm interested to find out, like, how does this roll up to the leadership or management of the whole organization?
So I report to the senior leadership of the organization, whereas the e-commerce manager reports to the heads of retail. So there's a slight schism there, but we work very closely. You know, when we're considering new features and testing new features, we work with the Goodwill of Orange County e-commerce team to either validate our findings or to test the feature. You know, so we work very closely with them, although our org chart is, you know, they're kind of on the other side of the aisle, as it were.
Okay, that's very interesting. Okay, so you're basically pretty much pure core technology of keeping the site running and, you know, evolving it, and then the operations is separate.
I'm core technology and operations of the platform.
Of the platform, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you got to kind of, it's, yeah, like I said, it gets kind of weird because we're called Shop Goodwill and the site is called Shop Goodwill, and a lot of people call our e-commerce team Shop Goodwill. So sometimes when you say Shop Goodwill, you go, well, which group
which
is
Shop
it?
Goodwill are you talking about?
Yeah. Are you talking about national? Are you talking about local? Are you talking? Yeah. So
it gets a little. Are you talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
This is good. This is good. This is how, you know, we're opening it up. So, mm-hmm. Can we talk a little bit about the tech stack?
Sure.
So what is the tech stack that you use?
Primarily, we're a .NET shop, and we use ASP.NET MVC.
Okay.
And SQL is our primary data store.
All right. Now, it's always been like this, or was there ever a change?
There was a change. Late last August, we moved from a classic ASP application, which is what the site was originally written in. It was classic ASP with a lot of Visual Basic COM objects sprinkled in for good measure. And we, over about a year, we rebuilt it and then rolled it out last August with this new .NET stack.
Okay. And I'm always interested to find out, like, did you consider anything outside of Microsoft when you were making that decision, or?
Yeah, I did use a prototype for Ruby on Rails. And just came back to the C Sharp stack. The team knows C Sharp very well. The resources locally were available to us.
And then as far as the cloud, do you use like Azure or?
We use pieces of Azure, for content distribution networking.
But you have your own data center, basically, that?
We don't share a lot of details about the data center.
Oh, okay.
But we do use Azure for distribution.
You have your own servers, basically. That's what I meant, it sounds like. Okay. Don't want to go into anything that's confidential.
Sure.
Okay, and then as far as like third parties, do you work what? I mean, it seems like you have a really good team that can build pretty much anything. It's just a matter of time. So, what are the things that the features that you actually don't build and use vendors for?
So things such as obviously the shipping integrations, we use third parties for that. But that's all kind of behind the scenes plumbing, nothing that you would really actually interact with on the site. We of course, JavaScript libraries, we leverage those wherever we can, open source libraries for UI integration, et cetera. For sales tax calculation, we use a third party because that has just gotten way too complex to for any one organization to try to manage. And let's see.
Payment, I'm sure.
Yeah, payment. So the payment options available on Shop Goodwill are PayPal and Stripe.
Okay.
And we use all of their hosted products so that everything is done, directly through them.
No Bitcoin?
No Bitcoin. Nope.
Have you ever thought about it?
We looked into it, but I don't see it as a roadmap item. Our customer base typically is not going to be a Bitcoin user.
Right.
Our demographic, it's not quite there.
Well, plus nobody is really using the cryptos to buy anything anymore.
Without making an official stance and commentary, it seems more like an investment than a currency.
At this time, unfortunately, it is so.
Yeah.
Or fortunately, depending on who's talking, I guess.
Yeah.
For me in commerce, I would have loved to actually have a real currency that we can use, but it is not there yet. So,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then, so as far as the roles in your organization, you probably have a project manager, right? Or more? Okay. And then do you have something that's called a product manager?
That role would probably come closest to be me. I kind of serve many roles, so that's one of the hats that I would wear.
Okay, because this is one of my focus areas, and I mean I built products, software products for many years. Run an innovation lab right now. I worked at Amazon as a product manager, and software product management is coming into its own as an independent, really, and very specialized, actually, career.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to learn more about how you actually handle that. Or is that something that you're looking at, for example, bringing maybe even somebody else in? Do you see a need to bring somebody else in that is like 100% focused on it?
I could see that in the near future. As again, with growth brings complexity. My own role has become much more complex, and I see that as something that's probably happening in the future. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a different job than a project manager, right?
Yes, I mean, for sure.
Really more like a business side, even, role of looking at features, and I think that's. It does actually help to put a really like a high focus on that specific role and build it up and then go through. So in your own life of doing product management, what do you use anything like, for example, Scrum or like Lean methodologies, or how do you do that yourself?
Mostly agile based. not, you know, not, I think what I take the, you know, the extreme product or project management approach. And basically, you know, it's kind of a combination of lean and agile where, you know, you are driving, you're trying to focus on driving product value, rather than lines of code, you know, value and quality, in smaller steps, if smaller and more frequent steps, so that you can easily pivot. And then that helps you break up and not have such monolithic, components. Right. So,
right.
As the team works, you know, my team is a highly connected team, between Slack and project management tools and bug tracking tools and testing tools and the feedback. We have all those things integrated. And we try to be super quick, but at the same time trying to be methodical, which is kind of oxymoronic to say quick and methodical, but we have a process.
It is a balancing act, yeah, for most yeah. people. So do you have like a DevOps function?
Yes.
In your team as well?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So what about microservices? Is that something that you've thought about?
It is part of our architecture in some ways. I wouldn't say, you know, as a concept, I have completely, you know, embraced microservices all the way down the chain. But there are in any system a few key components that could easily be microserviced and make more sense.
Right.
But I, in general, I'm kind of for them. In practice, it comes down to pragmatic. You know,
right.
is it pragmatic to do so? Are you introducing, you know, overly complex architecture for no particularly good point?
Right.
What's
the cost
to me,
benefit?
Analysis.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely easier said than done, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm pretty passionate about microservices, but I know that it's a process. For most people, it's a process, not like a big bang change. And
yeah.
it is really an organizational change, even before you get to the software. It's the concept of, for example, having like a pizza team or a two pizza team or whatever, and really mm-hmm. independent services that can be called by themselves without, and if you change something, it's not going to break something else that is not related to it. So, but it does
right.
take a good amount of work to get started and start and even change to that. So, and that's where you come in. You have to make sure that everything that, you know, that the train is running while you're changing the tires or whatever. So.
Yeah, it's part engineer and part conductor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so this is good. I think it's very interesting. So what are some of the things that, any specific products that you have planned for the rest of the year, or any changes on the website?
Mostly like from the front end side of what a customer might see, I think we're pretty stable through the rest of the year. What we're doing on the backside is a constant refactor and a constant, provisioning for more agility. But that's kind of what we have going on the back end. I don't foresee any new features. However, well, actually, I say that towards the end of the year, we will be changing up the search methodology a little bit. And that's just mostly a technology stack change. But it could and probably will involve a little bit of a user interface change.
Okay. All right. And then as far as like testing, what do you do to, like, do you do A/B testing or multivariate testing?
We do a little bit of A/B testing. But primarily, I mean, we have, you know, a hardcore group of users who we kind of workshop changes with. And the, you know, those are high-end users, high-frequency users that we have engaged with in the past and will continue to do so to ensure that, you know, or to try to ensure that, you know, the change doesn't impact them or, you know, if we can avoid it, impact anybody else.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much our testing methodology for new features. Aside from the technical testing, I assume you were mentioning, you were talking about like the user acceptance testing, not so much the technical part.
Right. And then, you know, just really like features, for example, like when, when you do new changes. Yeah. And also like, you know, how do you, how much testing do you actually even, I mean, do you do, for example?
Like
changing things on the website and seeing how they perform, for example, moving things around, changing even colors. I mean, you know, all of these little things make a difference. So,
yeah,
like you've got watch this item, for example.
We don't really do a lot of A/B testing in that regard there. We mostly have some, you know, through the user group, we have some good ideas about what we believe the impact will be. We measure before and after, and if, you know, after we have rolled out a change, if we decide it was, you know, ultimately not a great thing, then we try to fail as quickly as we can. But to this point, we really haven't had much of that going on, if that makes sense.
Thank you so much, Ryan. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Great talk.
Take care.